Let us turn in God's Word to John chapter 9. We have been going chapter by chapter through the Gospel of John, and we come now to this message from the Lord, "Are your eyes open?" Here we read from John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pool of Siloam.'" This word means sent. "So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, 'Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?' Some claimed that he was. Others said, 'No, he only looks like him.' But he himself insisted, 'I am the man.' 'How then were your eyes open?' they demanded. He replied, 'The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see.' 'Where is this man?' they asked him. 'I don't know,' he said." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others ask, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We're disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Now, I'd like for us to pause here for a moment. And I'd like to ask you, are your eyes open this morning? Can you see? Your seeing at this very moment involves millions of cells that live in the very interior of each of your eyes. They function as photochemical receptors that convert light into myriads of electrical impulses that are then forwarded to your brain to be sorted, organized, analyzed by your brain. Seeing is amazing. The design of the human eye is amazing in its totality, but just looking for a moment at the retina is a very thin and complex tissue, as is described by scientists, that lines the back of your eye. Right now, as you're looking about, it functions like a constantly changing roll of film. It's made up of some 7 million cone cells, just so you can see everything in color. 125 million rod cells, so you can adapt your seeing to darkness. And then about 1.2 million nerve cells that collect billions of bits of information that are constantly being processed in your brain. The little eye, the little retina. The heavens declare the glory of God. All those rolling stars shine in all their immensity for the glory of God. It can be seen, and yet it's the eye in a very special way that records all this and sees. Just a small dot in the universe, and yet it beholds all that God has made. I ask you, are your eyes open this morning? One of the great old confessions of the historic Christian faith puts it ever so majestically when it says, "The universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creatures, great and small, or as letters to make us see the invisible things of God." Only God sees it all. Maybe some of the children who've been studying about whales would be interested to just think for a moment of how these great humpback whales love to, as it is, to sing their underwater arias, their songs. And then afterwards, we're told about researchers seeing some of them jump up into the air, spread their wings, so to speak, and twist to the side 100 times in a row with such joy, it would seem. No one sees all this but God. We, or a few of you, I probably should say, have probably spent a little bit of extra money on tankfuls of tropical fish, just to think God has ocean full of them. God sees it all in its wondrous beauty as it leaps about in all its purposeful design. And He enjoys it all. It is good. With your eyes, you can see a little of that, a glimpse of what God sees. And before us this morning is a man who was born blind for the glory of God. Certainly, as we have read through it, we can see he's a very colorful personality. Fascinating just to listen in on these conversations so long ago. And here is God's revelation for us today. I would like for you to follow me and look at this great chapter in the bigger picture of God's creation, in the bigger picture of the fall of man, and then in that bigger picture of God's redemption in Jesus Christ. The creation, certainly our walls here surround us quietly with the reality that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The reality of, yes, man has sinned and he falls short of the glory of God. The fall is that very important great global teaching of God's Word for us to understand life itself. And then redemption as it is in Christ Jesus. All of us long for that great day when all of life that is in Jesus Christ will be restored. A new heaven and a new earth. Look with me at this chapter in the light of creation. In creation, we are to see God's invisible qualities. Yes, His eternal power and divine nature. Look with me with your own eyes at Romans chapter 1. Read those words with me from Romans 1, beginning with verse 19. And there, in verse 20 also, we see what God has told us we are to see in His creation. In verse 19, we read, "What may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." I ask you this morning, are your eyes open to see within the seed a tree? More than just what you see outwardly, but yes, there is within that egg a bird. There is within all creation that design, that plan, that wondrous way in which God has made all things. Can you see God's power in 100 billion stars and some of them having within them their own orbit or galaxy or own, as we would speak of it, solar system? Or even to think of those little small creatures of insects. There's some 750,000 different species of insects. It is all made by God's hand for us to see His power and glory. To think on all those little creatures, it's amazing. Grasshoppers that look like leaves, or some of the little small beetles that ride on the backs of bees. God's creation. Wonder and awe as we study it and see it. Can you see how it all fits together? For example, those very trees and plants, they give off that oxygen. And we, of course, need the oxygen and breathe out that carbon dioxide. There is an interrelatedness of all of God's creation together. I ask you, are your eyes open to see how they function together? Yes, the whole universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us see the invisible things of God. But look now with me at this chapter more closely and see the effects of the fall. John 9, here is this very colorful moment, this picture of a man born blind. Doesn't this picture vividly portray the truth that from birth men are spiritually blind? John has the simplest vocabulary of all the books in the New Testament. We always start with that book with beginning Greek. It's John's writing. It's simple. And yet, profound truth for our lives. The man blind symbolizes every one of us. We all need to have our eyes open to see. Look with me at those Pharisees. Their closed eyes, their mindset, their presuppositions, what they were set against. "He broke our rules, therefore He cannot be from God." Look at verse 13, just for a moment. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. He can't be from God if He made mud on the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. They were set in a direction. No matter what the signs, what the miracles, what the works of God were, he cannot be from God. John chapter 9, I think, gives us a whole course of what we call apologetics. The defense of the Christian faith. The study of this chapter, its syllogisms and all the reasonings and how reasoning can be twisted to reject God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And how are we to present the gospel? Look at verse 24 as you come down a ways. And here is the first persecution of a follower of Jesus Christ recorded for us. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And then it proceeds as he stands up to them. Verse 34 tells us they threw him out. He was excommunicated. Punishment for his disagreeing with them. And you know something good for us to note here. You can't argue a man out of his set position against Christ. God has to open their eyes for them to see. They willfully closed their eyes. Look at verse 30 again. As we look through the chapter, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. Isn't the really marvelous thing that their unbelief in the face of the evidence is more a wonder than even the cure of this man? You, plural, he speaks to them, the religious experts, you cannot work out a simple thing like this. Nothing can explain their unbelief except the fall of man. Men are spiritually blind, set to keep their eyes closed. It's not God's fault that men don't believe, just as it's not the fault of the Son that blind men don't see. These Pharisees willfully keep their eyes closed tightly. They don't want to see. Just this last week, I was given a little article from the newspaper from our Mesa Tribune, taken from the Associated Press, and it told of the marvels of God's creation without their thinking of it being God's creation, of course. It speaks, and I would like to just read some of this to you, and then for you to think how man says none of this has design. Men keep their eyes closed to God's design and creation. Here the article from Washington says, the first deep sea creatures that glow with appendages are these newly discovered jellyfish. Listen for a moment. Jellyfish and other types of sea creatures are known to produce light, but this is the first deep sea ocean jellyfish that has red fluorescent light. And then it says, three of the animals were found by scientists using a remote-controlled research vehicle at depths of between 5,200 feet and 7,500 feet off the coast of California. The discovery is reported in today's issue of the Journal of Science. The new find is of a previously unreported species, which is a member of the group that includes jellyfish. The animal, which has not yet been named, has tentacles with side branches that consist of steam cells attached to a single stalk. The researchers said that inside the stalk are spots that produce blue-green light when immature and red light when mature. And they noted that the two colors are produced by different methods. The blue-green light is produced by a process called bioluminescence, which emits energy as light instead of heat. The red light comes from fluorescence, a process in which short wavelength light, such as blue, is re-emitted as long wavelength red light. Now, I hope that sounds pretty complicated to you all. And that's exactly what it is. It has design. There's something here beyond our ability even to understand it all. And to say there's no design and there's no intelligent design to all of this is blindness. Willful blindness. Man in his fallen condition, rebellion against God, closes his eyes to God's presence. Just as the Pharisees of old. Are you here with your eyes closed? Look with me for a few moments at God's redemption in this passage before us. Eyes are open. Verse 25, one of those beautiful places where what a wondrous testimony. I once was blind, but now I see. Verse 35, notice as we have this before us is that Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, Jesus takes the initiative. Jesus goes to find him when he's thrown out. A beautiful picture here. And as you have this before you, notice what is taking place. Jesus appears to him. This man who was born blind, Christ sends off, and after he washes in the pool of Siloam, he sees. Now, for the first time, he sees Jesus. He recognizes the voice of the one who healed him, and it's his first time to see Jesus. But he seems to be ready to believe. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, that I may believe in him." I believe there's been this work of God's almighty grace to give him eyes to see, a heart to believe. He's ready to believe. You have seen, and now you're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look as we read with me. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. This is the climax for this man's very life. He comes ready to believe. He sees. He believes. Blind men can see. God can open their eyes. And they can see and believe. Some claim to see but are blind. They live their lives, their eyes tightly closed. And it never occurs to them that they are really blind. Here is the work of Christ in redemption. Many would rather live in their own darkness than to come to believe in Jesus Christ as the light of the world. But this man sees the true light. Are your eyes open this morning? Have you come to really open your eyes to see and believe in Jesus Christ? The effect of the true light for some is blindness because they choose to close their eyes willfully. They will not see Jesus. Their sin abides on them. Here this man not only recovers what was lost, he sees, but he believes on the Son of Man. And what does it say? And he worshipped him. He has the illumination of the light of the world. Do you see this morning? Are your eyes open? The facts are before you. The whole of creation, the billions of stars to the hundreds of thousands of insects, all is before you. I remember the first time I truly came to believe, to see and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was through reading the Gospel of John, alone in a prayer chapel up in Prescott Pines campground. As I have mentioned, I remember returning after those days to North Phoenix High School, and there I took a Bible with me because I wanted to study and read. And suddenly, why do you have the Bible, Adams? What's going on? And from then on, it wasn't a matter of how do I witness to someone. I couldn't help but speak to them. This man gave a great word of testimony all through those different events in his life. God had opened his eyes. He could not but speak of what Christ had done in him, for him, and then, I'm sure, through him. You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He has come. He has found you this morning, and he speaks to you. He is the Son of God. You're to believe on him and worship him. Oh, I know it's very easy for some of you to almost think, well, those stars of the movies, or the rock stars, the singers, or the sports, the athletes, these great superstars. But let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can really give you eyes to see reality and give you eternal life. He's the only one who truly is to be worshipped. Oh, I spoke of coming to first worship him those many years ago, 1962. But just this week, I think after a pretty rough morning and everything, our dear friend here, Martin, and I were... Martin was stretched out on the bed with pain, and I was down on my knees next to the bed, and I prayed, and then Martin began to pray. We were in God's presence in a special way. And I want to say to those who are young people, if you leave your whole life and you don't see the Lord, you don't worship him, you've missed it all. Martin, in his 90th year, can testify to the fullness of life in Christ, to see him and worship him. God is faithful. We are to say, Lord, I believe, and then worship him this morning. Oh yes, there is an identity that we're to have with him publicly, but there is that wonder and awe that we follow him, and there is that amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Are your eyes open? Are you seeing? Are you believing? Are you worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Let us pray. Our Father, that is our prayer, that you'd open our eyes, that we would see your glory in all of creation, we would see your glory in your light. Oh Lord, open our eyes that we may see your glory in your law. Open our eyes that we would see your glory in your word, and that we would see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Give eyes to see to those who have come blind this day. O Lord, open their eyes that they may believe and worship Jesus the Christ. For it's in his name we pray. I'm going to ask that we bow our heads, and as we would think of this wondrous revelation of God in Jesus Christ, in the silence of a moment here, that all those who are here this day would truly focus their eyes by faith upon Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and have never believed on Christ, believe on him and worship him this morning. I'm going to ask, before we begin singing Amazing Grace, that John would come and just sing through a cappella, just a stanza of that, that you would truly focus upon Jesus Christ and believe on him this day.